Psalm 21 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Verse 1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for ever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men, for they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Amen. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are a great God, and that you hear our prayers and you answer them swiftly. As we come before you this evening to study the psalm, we pray, Lord, that you would grant us understanding and help us to perceive your might, to perceive your goodness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Psalm 21, it's a thanksgiving psalm. It praises God for all that he has done, and commentators basically place Psalm 20 and 21, and they say they are linked together in terms of their subject matter and also in the words that are found in each psalm. Now, last week we covered Psalm 20, and as we were reading Psalm 21, if you remember Psalm 20, you would see similarities, right, between the two psalms. So while Psalm 20 is a prayer of deliverance for the king, Psalm 21 is a prayer of thanksgiving for that deliverance that was requested. So, in other words, in our context, right, today, whatever government that comes into power, we talked about that last week, right, we can still give thanks to God. We can thank him that he hears our prayers and that he's still in control. But primarily, in this context, right, the psalm has to do in general with giving thanks, and giving thanks for answered prayer. Now, this is something I think that we who are Christians, we lack this virtue. Is that the right word? Discipline? We lack this spontaneous giving of thanks to God, right? We seek for prayer. You know, we come to the prayer meeting, but when that prayer is answered, how quick are we to give thanks to the Lord? Now, when Nathan, not the prophet, but my son, when he was younger, we tried to teach him to say thank you, right? We teach him consistently. One day we took him to someone's house, and there was, you know, a bunch of bananas on the table, and he loves bananas. And so the host saw Nathan looking at the bananas and offered him one. So Nathan took it, and of course, as you know, a father, I said, Nathan, what do you need to say to uncle, right? So Nathan looked at you know, the man, our host, gave him back the banana and said, peel it. So, we were trying to teach him to say thank you, but, you know. So, I mean, in one sense, we look at this and say, you know, he's a young kid, he's learning, it's almost excusable. But the thing is, with us, we receive the goodness of God, we experience it, but yet we're not quick to thank God, right? And the Bible does say that by nature we are ungrateful people, right? Romans tells us, it lists a lot of sins and tells us that we're ungrateful, but if you just take a look at 2 Timothy 3:2, 2 Timothy 3:2 talks about the last days, the end times, what men will be like in those days. And it says that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Right? So this is the natural tendency of mankind. We should be rather surprised that people are thankful and not surprised that they are unthankful, right? But as believers, this is something that we need to cultivate. And according to this psalm, there are several things that we can give thanks for. If you look at verses 1 to 7, they basically correspond to the first section of Psalm 20, which we saw last week. And we're really going to just focus on these seven verses. And in those, in that first section in Psalm 20, as we saw last week, people there were asking God to hear their king's prayer, to grant him and the people deliverance from their enemies, as well as victory in the day of battle. So the psalm, our psalm today, in the first section, verses 1 to 7, is a thanksgiving prayer for that deliverance. So what are some of the things that we can thank God for? I think we see four items, right? Firstly, we give thanks for God's strength and joy. Verse 1 tells us, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." Now, you see the word strength there? Now turn to Psalm 20. Take a look at Psalm 20. And where's the word? Okay, verse 6. "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." Right? So that's the same word. The word strength there is the same word. And what we saw last week was that this word strength also means victory or salvation. That's why in Psalm 28 it says saving strength, right? So the king shall joy in thy saving strength and in thy salvation, because God is strong to save. That's why the king has been delivered. So while last week we saw in Psalm 20 the people praying that the Lord would save the king, here we see that, well, God answered. He intervened and he delivered the king. Now notice, the people are not thanking God for giving them military tactical knowledge, that they were able to somehow save themselves and destroy their enemy. Right? They didn't do that, because they ultimately knew that strength came from God. Now, Israel, as a people, experienced this many, many times, right? Crossing of the Red Sea, crossing of the Jordan, taking over Jericho, right? Then you have all the other examples, like Gideon's army, whittled down to 300. So they knew that tactical knowledge, strategizing, all of these things, you know, they may amount to something in certain things, but when it comes to the big picture, salvation ultimately is of the Lord, right? So they ultimately knew that strength came from God. But along with that victory, we see here in verse 1, is joy, right? Now, of course, the king experienced joy because he experienced salvation. But I would say that the joy here, right, is not because he experienced salvation. I think the victory only confirms that God was with him, but he is rejoicing because he knows that God is with him regardless. And this was the situation with Paul, right? In Philippians 4:4, his famous words were, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Where was Paul when he was writing this? He was in prison, right? So the joy is not dependent upon circumstances, right? But we know that the king's salvation proved that God was with him, but the joy here is simply a joy that comes from knowing that the Lord is with us. So that's the first thing that we can give thanks for. I know when you come to the prayer meeting, sometimes we ask, any testimonies, any thanksgivings? Generally, people are silent, right? I mean, I must admit as well, you know, I'm not always quick to give thanks. But I think this is something that we can identify, right? It is something that we can give thanks for perennially, right? That the Lord has strengthened us, that the Lord has given us joy in salvation, that the Lord has saved us. You know that hymn that we always sing? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, right? Now, secondly, we give thanks for God's answers to our prayers. Verse 2 says, Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Now, take a look at Psalm 20, verse 4. Psalm 20, verse 4, the people were praying to God for the king, and it says, Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. All right, the people were speaking to the king. They were saying, King, we're praying that God would listen to your prayers, and he would give you your desires. And we see here in verse 2 of Psalm 21 that God had given him his heart's desire and the request of his lips. So the people are returning thanks to God for answering their prayer. Now, again, notice that the emphasis is on God. Thou hast given him, right? God did not withhold his answer, but he heard. So the emphasis is not on the gift, not on the necessarily the king, but that it is God himself that has given. We get a cut on our hand. We pray for healing. Yeah, you know, we still have to be responsible. We'll put some analgesic cream on it, and antiseptic cream. Then it's healed. What was it that healed the wound? Was it the cream? Or was it God? Well, of course, naturally we'll say, well, the first cause of every other cause is God. So theologically we know that's God who healed us. But more than likely, we generally trust that it was the cream. You know? I think there has to be, I suppose, a bit more awareness and gratitude towards God, right? And that's the one. And he is the one who has heard. Now, thirdly, we give thanks for the blessings granted to us by God. And we see this in verses 3 to 6, right? Verse 3, I'll read it. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. So God here is preventing him with the blessings of goodness. Now this is where, even though we like the King James because of its underlying text, this is where we pause and we say, huh? What does this mean? Right? I thought preventus is like a bad thing. It sounds here that God is preventing him from receiving the blessing. So the with there, why did the King James translate with? Shouldn't it be from? Right? Well, the word prevent, it's a bit confusing. It should be best translated as meet. Okay? For thou meetest him with the blessings of goodness. Right? So why is it translated as prevent rather than meet? Right? Well, prevent in older English literally means before you come. Okay? Pre means before, right? Vent here is the Latin word venir, or it means to come. So it literally means to before one comes. So how to explain this? Your enemies are coming, right? They're coming to you. So what do? You go out to them. Before they come, you go out to them and you prevent them from coming to the city. That's one way of looking at prevent. The way that this explains it, or it explains the text better here, is your friend is coming, and what do? You come out to him. Before he comes to you, you meet him. So prevent has two meanings. It's just that in modern English, we've taken the negative meaning, right? But that's why the King James translated this word prevent when it literally means to meet, okay? So before, you could see it this way, before we even come to God, he meets us with his blessings. Okay? So that's why we give thanks to him, because the blessings are always coming. You know, whether we ask for it, and when we ask for it, right, God blesses us. So what are these blessings? We see several here. We see in verse 3 that thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. In other words, God is the one who has crowned the king. God is the one who has given power to the king. The king has power because of God. Okay? Secondly, as verse 4 says, the king has received life. Right? The king probably asked that his life be spared as he was going into battle, and God spared his life and blessed him even with more life. Thirdly, the king praised God because as a result of his victory, the king experienced glory, right? That's what verse 6 tells us. It tells us that God has made the king most blessed forever. So we look at these things, and you know, we can tell ourselves, hey, it's pretty easy to give thanks. You have life, you can give thanks. You have health, you give thanks for that. Did God spare you from something? You give thanks. You're in your jobs, your positions, your sphere of influence. Is that something you can give thanks for? You know, and I think this is particularly useful to us, because even though many of us have adequate health, we have adequate finances, we have jobs, we have food, you know, we have an abundance of food, you know, every Sunday, we have a lot of food, but yet we complain, don't we? We complain all the time, right? So these are things that even when there's reason to quote-unquote complain, there's more reason to give thanks, right? And another blessing is that God's presence is with us daily. Now, the fourth thing to give thanks for is God's covenant commitment to us. Well, verse 7 reads, "For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." Now, the one word I want you to concentrate on is mercy. Actually, there are two words, mercy and trusteth. But first, we'll take a look at the word mercy. Now, the word mercy here is from the Hebrew word chesed, which, you know, it's pretty hard to translate. That's why Tyndale sometimes translated as loving kindness. But, you know, before Tyndale used that word, before he coined that word, there was no such word as loving kindness. But he was trying to figure out, how do I best translate this Hebrew word chesed, right? There's no real good English word for it. So he took loving, and he took kindness, and he put them together, and he used that to translate. And of course, the King James translator subsequently also used words like mercy, love. That's the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek agape, right? Now, to use the word love to translate the Greek word agape is insufficient, right? That's why the King James translators use the word charity, because the love there has a generosity, right? Has a giving attitude, has a working attitude. So we see here that this is the kind of affection, love, and attitude that God has towards us. Now, if you can search the whole Bible, this word loving kindness, mercy, chesed is never used to refer, or it is never the recipients of this affection are only believers, are only God's people, right? Especially when God uses it in this covenant context, right? And so what we see here is that we give thanks for this special relationship that we share with God that is not shared by any other people on earth, any unbelievers. This kind of relationship only exists between God and his people. So we learn that God is eternally committed to his people. You know, that's why when Israel, in the 430 years that they were in Egypt, you know, towards the end of it, their cry went out, went up to God, and he heard it. And because of their cry, he determined and he remembered to do something about it and to rescue them. Right? So this word here, this attitude shows that God looks at his people in a very special way. And those of us who are believers, we are recipients of this. And this is something that we can continually give thanks to God for. You could say that God is wholeheartedly committed to us with an unchanging commitment. Okay? And that's why even though things may not be that great for us, yet we know that God has this special attitude towards us. You know, that's why we look at Romans 8:28-30, right? And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." So this is really God's commitment to each one of us, no matter what our struggles are, right, in life. And, you know, of course I speak to a congregation here that doesn't suffer hunger, that may suffer ill health at times, but doesn't really suffer persecution, But yet, how much are we giving thanks to God for? Right? I think this is a good psalm that reminds us that whatever it is, there's always opportunity to give thanks to God, especially because God is going to see us through in our Christian walk. Right? He doesn't just save us and leave us, but He saves us and He encourages us to persevere in our walk. And, you know, this passage here, in context, would have been very precious to the Roman Christians. You know, Roman Christians, they were going through harsh persecution, right? Especially they needed to hear this. But I think we especially need to hear this because sometimes we are jaded, you know. We're Christian. We experience God's blessings. And so we forget to dig deep and to realize there's so many things to give thanks for. And if we don't dig deep, it's no wonder that so many of us live in a kind of discouragement. You know, when really, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the things that we go through, but because we don't dig deep, all of our trials seem more insurmountable than they really are, right? And what we do see is the response. There's mercy, but there's also the King trusteth. This is our part of the covenant. While the Lord shows His mercy, we must trust. You know, and you know, it's not easy to have faith, right? What was it? Was it the centurion who said, I believe, Lord, help mine unbelief. So, a practical application of the psalm, comparing it to Psalm 20, while the people asked for God's blessings on the king, Psalm 21 is a thanksgiving to God for having answered that prayer. And it lists so many things that we can give thanks for. And a reminder to us, we need to cultivate that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your great love towards us. We thank You that You are a covenant-keeping God. Help us, Lord, to do our parts in the covenant. While You have shown Your affection and Your commitment, help us to reciprocate with trust. Help us to do the work of believing, for this is what You command us to do. And so as we look at our lives, help us to realize that there's so many things that we can give You thanks for. And we pray, Lord, that You would teach us, especially this evening, to be grateful for all that You have done in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We shall...